All right. So I'm going to continue on a little bit with what we spoke about last week. Just take it a little further. We'll go over some review. But last week, you know, I've been going through, the Lord just put it on my heart to just speak about his goodness. Let people know about his goodness, who he is, who he truly is. And we've been spending a lot of time in the Psalms. And, you know, with David and just his heart towards God and God's heart towards him and just seeing who he is, because he says he never changes. He's good. He was good then, and he's good now. But what's our perception of God? We were in Psalm 34. We kind of settled on verse 8 where it says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him." But it was that, "Oh, taste and see," that kind of jumped out at me because it felt like a challenge. Try it. Taste and see. See what happens. Right? Because David was going through all these things that what God was doing for him, and he says, "Taste and see that the Lord is good." You know, his goodness, his nature, what he truly thinks towards us. He didn't create us to just destroy us. He didn't create you for you to suffer, for you to go without, for you not to have relationship with him. That's not why he created you. He didn't create you to just watch you and just take pleasure in your agony. But I guarantee that's a mindset for some people. Because they just don't know who he is. A lot of it's out of ignorance. That's okay. God can deal with ignorance. God can deal with that. But do we know enough? Do I know enough to convey to you the goodness of God so then you can go and convey to others the goodness of God? I pray that through all of this, there's seeds being planted so we can share with others. No, that's not who God is. That's not my God. My God's not like that. My God is like this and this. My God does this and this. But we have to have that stuff in our heart. So, you know, taste and see. Taste. Strong's for taste is to taste. You know, pretty obvious. But it's also to perceive, to know, to recognize, to see, discern, to have knowledge of. I like this one, discover. Man, when you start walking in relationship with God, the things you're going to discover about God are going to blow your mind. The things that you're going to find in the Word that are going to jump out to you are going to blow your mind. Oh, wow, that's who God is. But we have to taste. We have to take that Word and we have to consume it. I can't just look at my Bible and say, yes, it's feeding me. It's not how it works. I have to read. You can listen. I don't care how you do it. Consume the Word. Consume it. Webster's for taste. To ascertain the flavor of something by taking a little bit. Right? Tasting something. But it's also to become acquainted with by experience. And this is where we get our good experiences from sometimes and our bad experiences from. Whether it's with actual food, whether it's with an encounter with somebody. We talked about, you know what, I've had experiences with people that left a bad taste in my mouth. I walked away from that going, ick. You know, you have high expectations sometimes for whoever you're meeting or whatever this conference is going to be about, whatever this meeting's going to be about, and you go and you're excited, and then they speak, and then you're, ugh. I don't know about that. But then there's other times where, yes, that was good. That left a good taste in my mouth, right? So to be acquainted with by experience, to have perception, experience, or enjoyment, the distinctive quality of an experience. What did that experience leave you with? What did you walk away from that with? Right? We are becoming acquainted with God through our experiences with God. Now that's time spent with Him. Right? If I spend zero time with God, if I spend zero time in the Word, I'm not going to have much to go on. And then when I hear other people talking, sharing, expressing their views and their opinions of God, I got nothing to back it up with. I got nothing to compare it to. So, well, that sounds about right. That sounds plausible. God could be that way. But in reality, that's just not who God is at all. But lo and behold, we're not getting ahead in anything because we have the wrong perception of God. I went off somebody else's opinion instead of God's opinion. And I've been there. Trust me, I've been there. It was a big part of why I struggled so much in life for a period of 10 years or so. My perception of God changed drastically from when I was a kid to when I became an adult. Why? Because I let others influence me. I let others' thoughts and opinions, others' doctrines affect me in such a way because I didn't have anything to back it up with. I didn't know the Word. I didn't know what it said about them. You know, I knew some Old Testament stories, and, well, God was pretty harsh back then, so He could probably be harsh with me now. Why not? Not knowing my covenant, not knowing that I'm walking in grace, not knowing that I have been redeemed, I am a new creation. Old things have passed away, all things have become new. I am His child. Now, sure, is there correction along the way? Yes. Because I was doing really stupid things. So God had to say, don't do that. He wasn't sending sickness on me to get the point across. That's a lie. He didn't put me in poverty to get the point across. That's a lie. I made horrible choices for my life, not based on the Word. So what did I expect to happen? I didn't know the Word. I thought God was a harsh God, so you know what? Bring it on. I don't care. I was in the Marine Corps. I know misery. I was taught how to suffer, so you know what? I'll suffer with You, God. Even though I don't believe You love me, we'll just keep going down this road. I can't be the only one. But what is our perception of God? I wasn't tasting anything good because I wasn't seeking anything good. And what I did find left a bad taste in my mouth. So just through this whole process, well, that's just who God is. I really came to a point where I was like, I can't even read. Just reading the Bible irritated me. Because, like, that's just not... Like, I don't want to read about Jesus because I don't believe it. I got to that point. It was sad. But what do we perceive? Is it positive? Is it negative? Is it a good taste? Is it a bad taste? I think of children. And there are adults like this as well. But I think of children. Trying to feed children. You're trying to do what's best for them, right? You're trying to give them food that is going to help them grow, help them get strong, fight off sickness and disease. And what do? Right? Those lips go on lockdown, man. And you're not getting it in. And then with my kids, I would even get it close and they'd start going, whoop. I couldn't even get it in their mouth before they were about to throw up. But what are we learning from that? They were just extremely hesitant, extremely reluctant. But you laugh because I did that. But are we that way with God? God's trying to feed us something. God is trying to introduce us to something that will change our lives. And what's my reaction? Ugh. Putting the arms out. The lips go on lockdown. I will not have any part of that. But God's going, no, this is good. This is good. This is going to help you. But you need a taste of it. Nope. Not happening. I mean, I look at my kids, and I hear stories about other people's kids. I made them sit there all night. I didn't make my kids sit there all night because I knew it was futile. But people will do it, right? Well, if you don't eat it now, you're going to have it for breakfast. And if you don't have it for breakfast, you're going to have it for lunch. Let the hours that are spent fighting over something that's supposed to help you, over something that's supposed to nourish you. I can think of the hours I spent fighting God about the things that he was trying to do in my life to help me. I can. Do we believe what God is speaking or presenting to us to be good and beneficial? Or are we pushing back against his promises? When the challenge is presented, try me, right? That was the word last week, was try me. Try me. Do we see opportunities, or is doubt and unbelief our default response? Nope, that can't be for me. It's not for me. It didn't work in their life, so why wouldn't it work? Why would it work in my life? It's not working for me now. So why should I keep going? Why should I keep trying to do this? Why should I keep pressing on? What's the point? We can build this stuff up inside of us. The point is, only God can bring you through it. The point is, he knows what you need, when you need it, how you need it. He knows the avenue with which he's going to bring it to you. But are we just stopping it up? Are we blocking it? Are we saying, that doesn't work in my life? It's amazing, the all-powerful God, creator of heaven and earth, and we can just build this wall. Where he won't, where he can't be, because it's about relationship. We've stopped him from being effective in our life. It's crazy. It's amazing that he's given us that much free will, but it takes that much free will to experience true love. To truly experience somebody who loves you, to truly experience the love of God, you have to have the free will to accept it or not. Anytime it's forced, it's not love. Anytime I have to do something, that's not love. Because now we're putting parameters on it. If you don't do this, then you don't get to experience this. That's not God's choice, that's our choice. That's my choice. That's my choice of walking out this life and saying, you know what? I don't understand it. I don't have to understand it. God, just bring me through it. And I guarantee through those experiences, you're going to learn something. You're going to grow with him. That relationship is going to expand. And then when the next thing comes around, you go, nope, I remember what happened here. God, you brought me through that. You're going to bring me through this. And once we get through this side, you're going to bring me through the next thing. And in the midst of it, watch God work. Watch God work. Watch his goodness, his blessings, his mercy throughout all of it. Watch it. Try him. Try me. Do it. So if you want, you can turn to Malachi. This will be our main text for today. So Malachi is prophesying to Israel. The Lord's using him. Israel's been conquered by the Persians. They're a fraction of what they once were at their peak, right? They have nothing. They really are nothing. They're a conquered people who have been enslaved, right? So here's Malachi prophesying to the people through God. We're going to be in chapter 3. I encourage you this week to just read the whole chapter because there's some really cool prophecy in there about like John the Baptist. And but for my purposes here, we're going to start in verse 6. So God's having a dialogue with his people. He's going back and forth with them because they're not walking in the covenant that they had. They're suffering. They don't have anything. They're a conquered people. So here we go. So verse 6 says, "For I am the Lord, I do not change." Very powerful. Meditate on that. "Therefore, you are not consumed." Now, if you think about that, God made a covenant with Israel, and he does not change. Israel changed. Israel went down that road of turning their back on him. God did not change. So because God did not change, he didn't just wipe them out and start over because he had a covenant with them. He doesn't change. Verse 7, "Yet from the days of your fathers you have gone away from my ordinances and have not kept them. Return to me and I will return to you." There's this, come back to me. I know what's best for you. I can help you. I have a covenant with you, right? "Return to me and I will return to you," says the Lord of hosts. "But you say, in what way shall we return?" Basically, they're saying, well, we never left. So what's there to go back to? Well, you obviously left. You obviously left because are you prospering like David and his kingdom prospered? Are you prospering like Solomon and his kingdom prospered? I mean, they had things to look at to see like the goodness of God here. But they're just mouthing off like we probably would at times in our lives. I've mouthed off once or twice. Verse 8, he says, "Will a man rob God?" Like, will a man rob God? "Yet you have robbed me." But you say, "In what way have we robbed you?" So just, you know, just there's no heart after him. They've totally just turned their back. They've totally gone to these other gods. They've totally just have no idea what their covenant was. You know, you can go to Deuteronomy 28, and it lays out the blessings and the curses. And he's saying, turn to me. Return to me, and I will return to you. Well, why didn't God just fix it? Because it was their choice. We see it all throughout the Bible. You know, the whole sovereignty thing. can really mess people up. Well, if God wants to do it, he'll do it. Well, guess what? God uses people. Sorry. Are there miracles? Yes. Are there amazing things that happen? Yes. But we can see all throughout the Bible where people just said no. Said no. That's not it. I'm not doing it. And then you suffer because of it. I suffered when I wasn't walking with God. Well, God, why don't you just fix things? Because I'm choosing stupid things. Israel chose stupid things. And the amazing thing is, like, he was in the midst of them. It literally took days for them to, like, build an idol when they got out of Egypt. And God was leading them. I mean, we can just really go down. When we just don't know who we're serving, we can really go down some crazy roads. Crazy roads. But you say, verse 8, in what way have we robbed you? God says, in tithes and offerings. This is not a tithe message. We already did that. I want to present to you a concept here, a principle. Because like with most things, you can apply this to other areas of your life, and that's what we're going to do here. Now, of course, this can be applied to tithes and offerings. I'm not saying that. But it says, you are cursed with a curse because you have robbed me, even this whole nation. They weren't walking in blessing because they weren't following God. That was the covenant. Whether you like it or not, that's just the way it was. Thank God we're under the new covenant. Thank God. Man, thank God I wasn't born in that time. Whoa. This was wild. It was wild. Verse 10 says, bring all the tithes into my storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and try me now in this. There's the challenge. Try me in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. Try him. He's saying, come back to me. Try me and watch what happens. Come back to what? We never left. We haven't robbed you of anything. God, I didn't do anything to you. Why is this happening to me? Blah, 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 blah. It's always God's fault. It's always God's fault. The perfect being who created everything. Well, you just messed up with me, God. I mean, you can go down that road. I know people who do. I know people who did. I was one of those people. But man, you're missing out on the answer. You're missing out on who can actually bring you out of depression, who can actually bring you out of stress and anxiety, who can bring you into health, who can bring you into prosperity, who can give you wisdom, who can give you knowledge. Like, I don't know. But he says, try me now. So God's saying, why have you turned from me? You know, speaking about Israel here. Don't you remember what I did with your fathers? And I mean, Israel, like, they chronicled everything. Like, don't you remember David, King David? Don't you remember Solomon and whoever else, all these judges who helped and God used to bring Israel back to him? Like, you can just go through it. You know, where did this heart come from? But in verse 6, we see, but there's God, I do not change. Still longing. That's him longing for his people. I haven't changed. Telling them, I haven't changed. He's asking, return to me. You know, and they said, return to what? You've robbed me. We didn't rob you. How did we rob you? If God's speaking to you, listen, for goodness sake. If God's saying, change this, it's within your best interest to change that. I can just tell you that. If God's saying, go here, if he's saying, do this, if he's saying, talk to this person, even if you don't like talking to people, I would go talk to that person. I'm working on that. Because the other option is stepping outside of his will for your life, is stepping outside of his blessing, is stepping outside of the things that are going to help you succeed, that are going to help you grow. Guess what? God wants to stretch you. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. When this journey started, man, I have been so uncomfortable. Because God is turning me into something that I never wanted to be within my flesh. He knows what I'm capable of. He knows what my plan and purpose are. But my flesh had very different ideas. Am I capable of doing this? Yes. Did I want to do this? Not necessarily. But I had to have a conversation with God and with myself and with my flesh and say, you know what? I don't want to go back to that. I don't want to go back to what I was. So this is what if this is what I have to do to go forward, then okay, I'll talk to people. If this is what I have to do to go forward, okay, I'll develop relationships with people. If this is what I have to do to go forward, Lord, you are going to have to show me how to love people. Because I just didn't like people. You've all heard it. Well, maybe not all of you. If you're new here, I didn't like people. It's so weird. Yeah, I mean, it's not weird. It's just so crazy what God can do. I mean, the Marine Corps helped in that, but it's not the Marine Corps' fault. Because unfortunately, see, I don't have time for this. Pray for people in the military. Military's hard. It's hard. You're just bombarded with negativity. You're bombarded with all these things that want to change you, want to pull you away, want to just turn you into this mass of guys who just hate the world. I don't know, like maybe it's easier to send people to their death when they hate the world or whatever it is. I don't know. But man, I came out of there just ticked off. Angry. But it wasn't so much what I went through. It was more so the ideas and the attitudes that I picked up from others. I fought it for a while, but once again, I didn't have anything to sustain me. And so when I fell hard, and people noticed. You know, I've told the story. I had a good friend of mine come up to me and he said, I thought you were different. Because I was different for a short period of time. But then all of a sudden, I just looked like all of them. I acted like all of them. I spoke like all of them. My mind went to everywhere else but God, and here we go. So I shouldn't say the Marine Corps, per se, but pray for people in the military. It's hard. You know, the problem with Israel is they couldn't receive correction. And it was just more so, just come back to me. Stop doing what you're doing, because he goes through kind of a list in the earlier verses of, you know, why are you doing this? Why are you doing this? You know that's not right. Stop doing it. Come back to me. Let me help you. And so on and so on. But it was, how have we robbed you? What did we do to you? We never did anything to you. Bottom line is they didn't know, or they had forgotten their covenant. They didn't know who they were anymore. They had interspersed, you know, with all these different societies and other gods and other just weird, nasty things. And it just ate away at them, and ate away at them, and ate away at them. They didn't know what goodness was anymore. I mean, I'm sure there's a few. You know, there's always a few. But as a whole, they didn't know who God was anymore. The God who saved them, redeemed them, brought them out, gave them the promised land. Land flowing with milk and honey. And now they're a conquered people. You know, because he gave them a command. In verse 10, he says, bring all. So he told them what to do. Because God wants to help you. God wants us to succeed. God wanted a relationship with Israel. So in verse 10, he says, bring all. Bring it all. Do what you're supposed to do. Try me. See what happens. In today's day and age, we're not so much robbing God necessarily of tithes and offerings and things of that nature, which we could be. But I believe it's more so relationship that we're robbing God of. And here's my relationship pitch. Relationship. When I'm walking in relationship, I'm walking and growing in the understanding of who he is. Whether it be finances, whether it be health, whether it be faith, whether it be grace, all these things I grow in when I'm walking with God, when I'm walking in relationship with him. But if I'm robbing him of that relationship, I'm robbing him of his ability to bless me. I'm just saying no, I don't want it. You know, and maybe we're not saying it in those words, but in our hearts, are we robbing God? Because what did God come to do? Jesus came to save us. So we can be brought back into relationship with him. Because Adam and Eve, what was the point? It was relationship. It was relationship. Adam messed it up. Yep. Jesus fixed it. Are we going to walk in what Jesus did, or are we going to stay back, trapped in what Adam did? Yes, we can rob God. Absolutely. I could rob him of my will and purpose for my life. Well, that's mine. Well, no, it was God's. God did that for you. God did that for me. And yes, he sings over every one of us, but when I'm not walking in relationship with him, he's saying, come back. He's longing for you to come back. He's longing for that relationship to come back because it opens doors. It opens those doors back up for us to say, yes, yes, lead me, guide me, yes, take me where you want me to go, yes, fill me with your love, fill me with your goodness, fill me with your knowledge and wisdom. and watch what happens. Try me. Try relationship, I dare you. I'll go right to it. I triple dog dare you. Try it. And not just this, well, I'm going to do it for a week, and if nothing happens. Purpose in your heart. Say, you know what? I'm going after you, Lord. Because he said, come to me, and I will come to you. And once again, it's not a have to. God still loves you. He still wants the best for you. He still wants to bless you. He still wants to see you grow. If you received him as your Lord and Savior, we'll be in heaven together and we'll have eternity to grow, but I don't think we have to wait till then. Why do I have to wait till heaven to experience his goodness? Why do I have to wait till heaven to experience what God has for me in this life as far as purpose and plan and will and everything else? I don't got to wait till then. All I got to do is just start this relationship. All right, Lord, what do we do? Ask questions, seek, pray, all these other things that go along with this. And he will meet you. You will grow. Whether or not you realize it or not, you will grow because there'll be something that happens and you're going to go, oh, whoa. That's not how I usually act. That's not how I usually respond, right? So I believe in that, you know, this relationship concept, this relationship idea, what is our command? So their command was bring all, right? Just bring a step back into your covenant, do what your covenant asked, bring all right? I believe our command is to come to me. Jesus said, come to me. Come to me. Why? Well, for a relationship. Why? It says in Matthew 11:28, just going to go through these quick. Matthew 11:28. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That's life. That's help. That's him saying, return to me. Come to me. Come to me. But then in John 5:40, he's speaking of the Pharisees here. John 5:40, he says to them, but you are not willing to come to me, that you may have life. Jesus Christ is life. Life abundantly. Life forevermore. Are we going to him? Or are we going to that old dead self? Okay, I've been saved. Am I seeking what the Lord has for me? Am I going to hang out with that corpse? Hey, old friend. You know, I haven't been depressed in a while. What do you say? Stay out of that. Step away from that. Step towards life. And go to him. Seek relationship. Seek what he wants for your life. Now we're back in Malachi real quick. So why was it so difficult for Israel to bring all? Why was it so difficult for them to understand their covenant? Go down to verse, actually I want to read 13 too, I think. So yeah, let's start in verse 13. The Lord's saying, Malachi 3:13, your words have been hard against me, says the Lord. But you say, how have we spoken against you? Here we go. The Lord's telling them what they're doing. Your words what you're speaking is destroying your life. What you're speaking about me, catch it. Our words have power. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Our words matter. And God said, and they say, but you say, how have we spoken against you? You have said, it is vain to serve God. What is the profit of it? Whoa. Right? This is Israel, his chosen people. Your words have been hard against me. No, they haven't. Well, you said it's vain to serve you. Basically saying, what's the point? Right? So then the challenge comes back to us. This is challenge, not condemnation. This is challenge. The challenge comes back to us. What is my view and opinion of God, and what do I speak out about him? It's so important. You know, I'm a big proponent of shutting your mouth. Big proponent of it. Like, I love it when people, I can see it coming. Something stupid's going to come out of their mouth, and they just go, and they just suck it right back in. They don't say it. And man, what a blessing that is. What a blessing that is. Big proponent for it. Because when we do that, we don't say stupid things like, it's vain to serve you. What's the point? Yikes. Yikes. Our new covenant with him is the point. Life is the point. Relationship is the point. All these things that we're suffering and going through in our life, go to the word about it. What does God say about it? What are your promises? What did God speak over you? What has he done in your life? Why not picture what else he's going to do? Why not say, you brought me through this, I believe you're going to do this in my life as well? Weird expectations. God goes, yes. All right. Let's play. All right. They're on board. Let's go. Let's go, like the kids say these days. Why not? Try him. Try me. Try me. Try me. Man, I can't say it enough. Try me. And see what happens. See what happens. Are we willing? Are we willing to taste and see that he is good? Are we willing to take him up on that challenge of try me? Okay, Lord, here we go. Here we go. Show me who you are. Show me what you can do in my life. Are we willing to learn from those who have gone before us instead of always having to learn things the hard way? We don't have to do that. But boy, a lot of us choose to do that. I mean, the word is life in all areas. Go to the word. We can look at Israel and you know what? I probably shouldn't do that. That didn't benefit them very much. Or that didn't benefit this person very much to walk down that road, so why would I walk down that road? It just, you know, whatever it is in your life. Don't harden yourself to the goodness of God. Don't harden yourself to what he wants for you, to his love for you, to his mercy for you. So I'm going to end with the word that we had last week as well. Spirit told me, try me, I dare you. Try me, I dare you. No matter where you are in your walk, I am not finished, and there's more. Taste and see. Man, it's there. That's his heart for you. That's his heart for us. That's his heart for those outside of this church. That's his heart for this area. Try me. Taste and see that I am good. Amen? All right, let's pray. Father, I just thank you that your promises are true and your word is true. And you're just setting people up here for great things, for good things, for effectiveness. Father, and I thank you as we go out this week that you're bringing opportunities across our path to share your goodness, to share your love. Father, I thank you for the challenge of try me, and I just pray that each and every one of us is willing to step up and to go after it and to seek you with a true heart, with a pure heart, a heart that is looking and desiring for relationship. And Lord, you are so faithful. You are so faithful, and you will meet each and every one of us because you never change. I just speak your blessing over this congregation as they go. I pray for safety throughout this week and just opportunities, Lord. Opportunities to share your goodness. In Jesus' name, amen. Everybody have a wonderful week. If anybody needs prayer or anything, I'll be up here for a little bit. But otherwise, as usual, there's things downstairs, and go enjoy and fellowship, and see you next week.